Good evening and welcome to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, I'm the Executive Director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to Guardian Talk Radio 96.9. Don't forget, you can always download the Guardian Radio app from the App Store or Play Store and listen to Guardian Radio all day long, but we're always extra happy when you tune in on Wednesday evenings to listen to The Blank Canvas and learn about your creative community. If you're like old school like me, you can also just listen to it on the radio in your car by going to 96.9 or live stream from the Guardian Radio website, www.guardiantalkradio.com. So tonight we are here to celebrate a Bahamian artist, painter, Lynn Perotti, who's joining us tonight. We open her solo exhibition next week at the NAGB on April 15th. We're not having a big giant opening like we normally do. So if you're regular listeners or regular attendees, don't come on the 15th expecting all the food and drink. Because of COVID-19, we do have to have a very like slow burn opening, but the show's opening and we encourage you all to come see it. So I have Lynn with us tonight in studio, and I have two scholars, Tatiana Flores, who's a professor in the Art History and Latina Caribbean Studies Department at Rutgers University, and Allison Thompson, an art historian out of Barbados who teaches at the Center for Visual and Performing Arts at the Barbados Community College, both of whom have followed Lynn's career for quite some time. So I want to welcome you all to the show this evening. Good morning. Oh, good morning. Good evening, ladies.
Good Hello. Evening.
Good evening. It's great to be here.
I'm actually going to cry soon.
It's so great to have you here. It's like the one... Oh, that's so sweet. It's like the one good thing about COVID was actually being able to have people on the show or to actually engage with people that normally you sort of wait to see in person, but now you're sort of making the effort to go out and kind of bring people in to deal with this kind of isolation. So I'm going to just quickly start with Lynn and say welcome to The Blank Canvas, Lynn. Tell the audience a little bit about you and your how you started being a painter and what you know your path. I always think it's interesting for listeners just to know, like, every artist has a different path, especially Bahamian artists, how they reach where they are in the present day. So just introduce yourself a little bit to our audience.
Hi there. Hi, everyone. I'm really happy to be having this interview with you, listening to me. I started really thinking about becoming an artist when I was at St. Augustine's University College. And I won an ESSO scholarship. And my grandfather had helped me decide to actually paint for the submission that I did, which was a giant reef that I drew. And I had bleach bubbles going over certain aspects of the reef. And everywhere there was a bleach bubble, the fish was either dead or the reef was dead or part of the fish was rotten. And this was my sort of approach to trying to describe what people were doing as a form of fishing back then, which would have been in the late 70s, where people were still using bleach to chase fish out of the sea, out of the reef, so they can catch them easier, which was completely bizarre and barbaric, obviously, because it kills the reef. But I am sort of doing the same thing right now, because a lot of the work that is featured in Inherit the Earth has to do with the health of our oceans, the health of our seas, and the health of coral. So my next step was to go to the College of Mount St. Vincent for 2 years, where I was studying liberal arts. And then I went to art school at SUNY Purchase, State University of New York at Purchase. And I graduated from there and then got my master's degree at Virginia Commonwealth University. All of this happened around between the 80s and then the early 90s. During that time as well, I went to Skowhegan School of it's a residency up in Maine for the summer, where I got blown away by the artists that I met and everything else I was exposed to. So that's sort of my career path. And then I moved to England, where I am right now.
How was it as a Bahamian in that time? Did you feel like very, like a kind of unique sort of out fish out of water somehow, no pun intended, given the your work. Because I think now Caribbean art is so much more kind of known, and people don't look at you weird when you say, oh, I'm in the Bahamas, or I'm in Barbados, or I'm doing, you know, they sort of, there's a sort of general understanding that art actually exists in these places, which, you know, even 10 years ago, there didn't seem to be. How was it as a Bahamian at that time? Did you feel like you had to kind of prove your worth to be there? Did people look at you with some exotic flower?
Well, yes, and I got called Bahama Mama, which I probably am. But I do remember standing up during my art history class at SUNY Purchase and asking the very renowned and respected art historian called Irving Sandler whether he could tell me anything about Caribbean art, or whether there were any books about Caribbean art, because I am Caribbean. And he said, well, I'm sorry, but there aren't any. You're just going to have to pave the way. I was like, okay. I actually did feel completely isolated. And at that stage, a lot of my education was about painting that really got your hands into the paint. And it was sort of post-abstract expressionism with like swathes of color and lots of emotion and or non-emotion or that sort of thing, but very non-specific type work. And I think that this there's probably a bit of that in my work still now. But to answer your question, there was a dearth of art historian writing that I knew of, and also that I was taught about in New York, of all places. So yet, the world has come a long way, and I'm really excited to be a part of it. I truly am.
I was just going to say, and we have two of the women on the show who were really partially fundamental, like everyone's done their part, but the two of you, Tatiana Flores and Alison Thompson, have actually been doing that work to document, because of course we have all these amazing artists, but if no one is documenting it, who knows, right? Who knows about it? So I think that's why it's so important to also encourage art historians. I mean, Tatiana, you've been really on the edge of trying to kind of expand the horizon. You've been doing that as a Caribbean person, but away in the States. And Alison, you've been doing the difficult work in Barbados, because we also have to educate our own communities. So how, I'm going to throw the question to Tatiana first. How's it been for you to kind of insist that, you know, this is something worth studying? You're now the head of a department that that is about, you know, Caribbean, Latin American and Caribbean studies. That's another, and actually that's my own little bugbear. It's like, why are we always tossed in with Latin America? But that's another issue. How's it been for you to kind of fight for that platform as a professional art historian?
Well, very much. It's been a fight and a struggle. I became fascinated with Caribbean literature when I read Derek Walcott as an undergraduate, to the degree that I chose to write a senior thesis on his epic poem, Omeros. And as a Caribbean person, I'm from Venezuela originally, but I was very conscious of this sense of, I identified so much with Walcott's writings, but there was this sort of, you know, barrier between what is considered Latin America and the continental spaces of the Caribbean that are Spanish speaking, and the mapping of the Caribbean that people sort of consider to be the map. So for me, it was a way of trying to understand why these barriers existed, because for the poetry spoke very deeply to me. And at that time, that was literary studies. Art was absent completely from any curriculum. And even focusing then in graduate school on Mexican art was also a battle, because it was very much Anglo-US and European art history that we were taught and was considered the only valid mode of expression.
Yeah, I remember when I first started working down here, and Alison, you can probably speak to this too, is I would tell people, well, I've got a new job and I'm the director of the National Arc out of the Bahamas, and people would say, oh, do you have art down there? and you know, I would get so enraged. Did you ever find that, Alison? Instead of your, when you were trying to, you know, and I'd say, well, where there's people, there's art, you know, like what does that mean? But I think they think we just make coconut art or tourist art. Allison, what about you? Has it been for you? Because, you know, you've made your career basically, you know, from Barbados.
Right. Yeah, I'm originally from Canada.
Has it been for you kind of finding that space?
Yeah. I moved here from Canada in 1984 and immediately started teaching. So my entry into that has often been through, you know, the role as an educator. And I really identified with what Lynn was saying. And I kept thinking as she was talking, I mean, why didn't her professor point her to Wilfredo Lam or Frank Bowling? I mean, Caribbean artists have always been out there and have always been in prominent places. And yet somehow, even today, young people are still saying, why am I not seeing this? Why is this not accessible to me? And in particular, you know, in the late 80s and early 90s, I was teaching educators, teachers who were already in the system, but were coming back to school to get advanced qualifications. And I started this program that was looking at how do I get teachers to be teaching about Barbadian art and Caribbean art when the information is not accessible. I mean, Verla Poupe's book on Caribbean art, which is a standard thing now, had not yet been published. The internet was not there in the way that it is now for people to be able to access the information. And so what I started to do was to get these teachers to start, they had to do it themselves. They had to visit the artists. They had to interview them. They had to start taking their own slides because that's what we used then. And they had to start, you know, collecting pamphlets from exhibitions and putting together scrapbooks. And I realized that when I studied art history, you could actually get a degree without ever looking at an original painting and without ever talking to a real artist. It was all, you know, in dark rooms looking at slides. And it was this real awakening for me about the necessity of education being that process of immediate engagement with the work and with the maker of the work.
Yes, definitely. And I think as people that are like based in the region, we realize that we don't even do a great job. Like you might imagine if you were in the States or in the UK, like, oh, they probably know everything about Caribbean art, like in the Bahamas or in Barbados or in Jamaica. But we actually are still educating ourselves. And I had the same experience like here going to another island in the Bahamas and giving a slideshow, which now is a PowerPoint because, you know, we've upgraded from transparencies. But the teachers didn't have that material even because you couldn't find it on the internet even then. So that, you know, they were like, can we have your slideshow so that we can share that with our kids? And I was like, this is within one country that we weren't doing such a great job kind of sharing those resources. So we're going to go to a quick break, come back, continue this conversation, talking about Caribbean art and how it's been sort of spread and documented with, of course, our art historians and scholars, Tatiana Flores from Rutgers University and Allison Thompson, who's based in Barbados and is an art historian who teaches at the Center for Visual and Performing Arts Barbados Community College. And of course, we're going to speak more about why they agreed to write beautiful catalog essays for our upcoming show for the amazing Bahamian artist we have also with us tonight, Lynn Perotti, who will be opening her solo show at the NAGB next week entitled Inherit the Earth with a suite of incredibly beautiful oil paintings. We're going to go to a quick break and then we'll be right back. You are listening to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson. I'm the executive director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and we'll be right back after this break.